Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Well, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so something hopefully will be popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, with three E's.
Oh, all right. So what is... What is going on today? You got anything good going on? Because I told you my goofy story about how I had an idea for us, and now I can't remember. So I'm hoping you have something.
I don't have much, except I'm just wondering when I was going to call him something else. Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
And Ross Stripling will actually be available to play in New Toronto. Buffalo.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember what the rule is. You know, they have so many days to report and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well,
but I was thinking the same thing because Kevin Pillar on a team, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. He got traded. So.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure because, I mean, I know there's that factor. You know, you have so many days to report. I think it's up to like 3 days to report. I just didn't know if things were different, you know, because of COVID. You know, do they have to quarantine? Do they have to test 12 times? You know, I didn't know the logistics on that part. So that's what was throwing me off. You know, currently,
yeah,
Stripling,
you know,
is still NA.
So, yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything about them having to do any extra testing or anything. But, I guess it's possible, right? So, you know, I did find it kind of interesting that, you know, everybody is now on the Padre bandwagon. And, you know, this is how kind of things go with the media and sports and all that. And that's why I always chuckle about it. You know, we mentioned yesterday while we were talking about some of the teams that, you know, the early in the season or before the season started, it was the Reds. Everybody was a Reds fan. Now, you know, after the trade deadline, everybody's a Padres fan, you know, and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we told you this team was going to be good, and now look what they did. And, oh, my God, you know, you guys just flat-out lie to people because you never said a damn word about the Padres. But now that made some trades and they're playing well, you know, you're a supporter.
No, they did say something about how well – how well the Padres are going to play. That was back when Manny was signed to them. So,
yeah.
You know, so then a year and a half, 2 years later, then you could be like, oh, that's the, I told you. You know, it's kind of like in Chicago, Mayor Daley. You know, overnight, this, you know, extension of mafia-style politics and Chicago, Democratic Chicago, you know, he decided one night, overnight, to tear up Meigs Field because, you know, what the claim was is it belonged to the people, not just the rich who could fly in their little planes into the city. And then roughly 5 years later, and this is sports related, I forgot the young man's name or older man's name, but a former New York Yankee crashed into a building flying a single-engine plane. And Mayor Daley, who looked like he rolled out of bed for this press conference, remember, what he did and the plane crash in New York is 5 years difference. And Mayor Daley rolled out of bed, his hair looking all wild and crazy, and goes, "That's why I got rid of Megsfield." You know, so if politicians do it, doesn't that allow reporters to kind of justify what they said 5 years ago?
Yeah, I guess if you want to look at it that way, I'm just kind of like, it's just that thing that kind of makes me laugh because nobody's talking about the Reds now.
No.
But when we were rolling into the season, everybody, and I believe including Schomburg too, was picking them to win the NL Central. And, hey, who knows, maybe they still will. They got, about 25 games or so to get it set up and get it rolling. And, maybe they'll have a huge run and they'll go 20-5 or something and end up passing the Cubs and winning the division. And then everybody would be like, "Oh, yeah, see, I told you this was going to happen." But the thing I get a kick out of with the Padres is even though they made all these moves, I still don't think they're better than the Dodgers. So where are they going to go? They're not going to win the West. They'll get in the playoffs as a second-place team. But, next year that goes away, so they'll have to win the wild card, if it was to stay like this. So, yeah, I'm guessing it's just the fact that these guys need something to get excited about just because it's been such a strange year.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. What have they really done though?
Well, they added a really nice starter in Clevinger, obviously, and yeah. Mitch Moreland. The Mitch Moreland thing is interesting because he had a fantastic year in Boston, but there are a lot of guys that do that for bad teams, and it doesn't carry over when they go to a good team. So we'll have to see if Moreland can keep rolling. And, I know everybody's excited about the Trevor Rosenthal pickup, and he's really going to, be the key to the back of their bullpen because Kirby Yates is out. Trevor Rosenthal, I know he pitched really well for Kansas City this year, but it took him a long time to get back to, being an above average closer, I guess is what we want to call him. I'm not going to call him a lockdown closer, but he's been an above average guy this year. So I don't know. Obviously they're good moves and they're the moves they needed to make, but it's just a little over the top for me when they get carried away and all of a sudden, they're the best team in baseball and they're going to the World Series. And I'm like, wait, did we forget that the Dodgers still play in that division? How did that happen? Because, looking, this is how long Rosenthal's comeback road was, Dan. His last full year, full year, was 2017 with the Cardinals. He appeared in 50 games, and, he pitched really well. He had 11 saves, 3.40 ERA. He got hurt, didn't pitch again till last year with the Tigers and the Nationals. But while he pitched, he appeared in 22 games, and his ERA was 13.50. So this year's been a little different. 15 games, the ERA is down to 3.07. He made an appearance for the Padres last night. So you were talking about Ray and Stripling. Obviously, it didn't take Rosenthal long to get to San Diego and get in a game. But you know, all seven of his saves are with the Royals, and I mean, I'm sure he'll be okay. You know, if he pitches like he did in his last year with the Cardinals, I mean, I don't think he's the 48 save, 2.10 ERA Trevor Rosenthal from 2015. You know, but do they need that? Or, you know, can he just kind of be that guy and they'll be okay?
I don't know. I think they need to pick it up. You know, I mean,
well,
they did what they were, they did what they needed to do, and that was get pitching.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing that is really kind of strange to me is, for whatever reason, and you know, I don't know how or why, but everybody seems to be viewing Drew Pomerantz is like this shutdown reliever. And, you know, obviously he got off to a great start this year. He's pitched 11 innings over 12 games, hasn't given up any runs, filled in as the closer, picked up four saves. But, you know, when, you know, Dan, when you look at Drew Pomerantz's career, you know, this is a guy I don't think he won a Cy Young. I think he was close one year.
He was
17-6 with the Red Sox one year. But, you know, this is a guy, you look at this, and this is really kind of an anomaly, right, when it comes to Drew Pomerantz. I mean, this isn't going to be a career path. At least I don't think so. He hasn't done this anywhere else. You know, he pitched really well for the Brewers after they got him from the Giants as a reliever. But when he was with the Giants as a reliever, he stunk. So, I don't really get it. But, again, maybe, you know, they're just kind of riding the hot hand or, you know, whatever they got to do. And, you know, again, I mean, I like the things they did. They made the moves they needed to make. You know, they needed that upgrade at catcher. Again, we talked a little yesterday. Austin Hedges is a fantastic, decent catcher, you know, defensive catcher. But he was hitting .158. And then they also have Francisco Mejia, who's supposed to be the future guy anyways, and he's hurt. So, you know, picking up Jason Castro and Austin Nola makes a really nice platoon situation behind the plate. You know, like we said, you know, Moreland's been playing real well. So, you know, I mean, they did what they had to do, and we'll see how it works out. But, man, I can't put them ahead of the Dodgers. And to be fair, there have been, you know, some of the analysts who said, you know, the Dodgers are still ahead of them, and, you know, that makes sense. But, you know, it kind of baffles me when, you know, these guys get out there and they start talking like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, when, you know, people like you, you know, anybody who's actually a real fan of the game know better.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's one of the things you've got to wonder. You know, the one thing I can't say, like, granted, I haven't watched a single Sunday night baseball game this season. But, you know, like the crew, with the non-baseball guy, you know, with Vasgersian or whatever, kind of get off on some random things, which could be annoying. But for the most part, I feel like the crews that ESPN puts together, you know, obviously you get your baseball guy, now you've got your softball, someone who really knows, you know, the sport. And then your journalists all actually love the sport, you know, and care about it and want to be a part of it and don't want to lead you off into some random-ass topic like, oh, my God, the Yankees made a trade. They're going to win the World Series. Or, you know, the Padres made three trades and they're going to win three World Series in a row. You know, that's one of the things I do enjoy about the mothership, that they get people who don't BS, you know, it seems like, well – during the games. I don't know about the sports shows. I don't watch any of them anymore. But, you know, that's, I think one of the things that just gets irritating is they go off on their tangents. They, you know, get people way too excited. And I think it just leads to a bigger disappointment, though, too, for, you know, the fans and a team when it doesn't work out.
Well, you know, and here's the other thing I've gotten a kick out of lately. You know, one of their favorite things to do, and you and I know this, is they love to hand out awards just a week into the season, you know, or a month in. I mean, remember after the first month of his rookie season, Ohtani was not only the MVP and the Rookie of the Year, but he was also the Cy Young Award winner. Somehow he hung on to win Rookie of the Year, even though I don't believe he deserved it, but, you know, name value, all that other kind of fun stuff. You know, well, they did the same thing again this year. They've decided already that Kyle Lewis of the Mariners is the American League Rookie of the Year. And, okay, you know, I mean, he's playing, you know, really well. He's hitting .328. He's got 8 homers. He's got 21 RBIs. You know, so, yeah, he's off to a fantastic start. Dan, I guess I'm under the impression that somebody forgot to tell Luis Robert that the award has already been handed out, you know, because he actually has more homers than Lewis now at 10, more RBIs at 24. His average is a little lower at .298. But, you know, Kyle Lewis only has 2 doubles while Luis Robert has 8. You know, and I heard somebody the other day talking about Kyle Lewis's speed. Even in that category, Lewis has 2 stolen bases. Robert has 4. You know, and I mean, I'm looking at these stats, Dan, and they're hugely even, you know, when it comes to where they are in Rookie of the Year. And I get it, you know, Jake Cronenworth has already won the Rookie of the Year in the National League for the Padres. I get it. That's, you know, that's what they want to do. But I get so baffled on why they do this, and, you know, are they just not smart enough to call him the front runner at this time? You know, is that so hard to say? You know, because, I mean, literally, I heard somebody call him. He came to bat in the game. I don't know if it was yesterday or Sunday, because the Angel Mariner games were the MLB Network showcase games. And he came up to the plate, and I think it might have been Scott Braun was calling the game, and he goes, "Oh, here's the Rookie of the Year, Kyle Lewis." And I was like, "Wait, they handed out awards? Did Dan and I miss the voting? What happened?" I don't know, but, you know, like, I believe Roberts leads all rookies in home runs and RBIs.
Yeah, well, excuse me. When it comes to the White Sox, don't forget, I mean, this is a team that won a World Series, and everyone that produces any sports show nationally completely forgot that they even existed.
But, yeah, you know, it's just one of those things I look at and I'm like, wait, really? We're giving this away already? You know, maybe we could let them play another, you know, 25 games or so.
Well, and do you think that, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say politics is the problem, but when it comes to the voting and these things, politics is the problem. I mean, you get to a point now, and, you know, I'll just keep it simple. Every Democrat is going to say your next president is Joe Biden. Every Republican that's voting for him, is going to say Trump's, you know, got 4 more years. Regardless, at the end of the day, you know, that's what it comes down to. And people are going to fight over it, tell you to block them if you don't agree with them. You know, they want you to be very socialistic, where we all think the same, exactly the same, have all the same feelings. That's fine. But do you think that kind of comes into play, like that attitude just kind of rolls over into the whole voting process of, you know, the awards for Major League Baseball?
You know, I guess it's, you know, that's possible. But, if it did, wouldn't that be stupid, you know, to say the least?
Yeah, and that's kind of my point. I mean, you know, everyone and anyone who's listening to this podcast can attest to what I'm about to say, and that is whoever you're friends with on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, Instagram, are just, you know, oh, it's my way or nothing, and it gets a little old, but that, I think, kind of rolls over into the thinking of even with sports when it comes to voting. You know, they just get pegged on one guy, and that's it. For whatever reason, they really like him, and nobody else exists. You know, I mean, Mike Trout's the MVP coming into every season since 2013 or 12, whichever. You know, and that's one of the things. It gets old because, you know, you've got this BBWA that is a good old boys club that, you know, your employer, be it one of the major networks, you know, one of the eight corporations that owns everything, or the Athletic, pays your membership, and you're part of this little clique. And it just seems like, you know, the guys who actually still cover the sport that aren't ancient, you know, sitting, you know, hiding out in their place because they made all their money still collecting, you know, taking votes. They all get together, and once they get together, they're like, ah, no, it's this guy. You know, he's going to be the rookie of the year. And it just doesn't seem very democratic, to be honest with you. And, you know, it's one of the things, and how I can compare it from, you know, sports voting for this and our political ballots is, Big Jack, you, I'm gonna say, like, your generation was probably the last of the generation who actually followed suit with the Greatest Generation, and that was you kept your political beliefs to yourself, and you didn't broadcast who you voted for. You know, while you can, you know, announce your affiliation with the Republican or Democratic Party, you know, I think your generation was the last one that would say, yeah, I'm a Democrat, but I'm not, you know, well, then you voted for Joe Biden. Well, I'm not going to tell you that. You could think whatever you want to think. Where, you know, I'm on the cusp of Generation X into Generation Y, millennials, and, you know, going forward. And I think my generation kind of ruined that and had to broadcast everything that they do, you know, and where everyone in my generation will just say, this is who I'm voting for. Love him, love me or leave me, you know. And it's kind of become that way with sports. You know, we pretty much know who's voting which way when it comes to the awards, and I think that just ruins it. It takes some of the fun out of it, doesn't it? Because then you know, like, you got four guys on a panel on the TV, and they're all talking, you know, Luis Robert, nah, he plays for the White Sox. He's nothing compared to these other guys. You know, I don't know. I think that's where less and less each year I get less and less excited about these awards.
Yeah, you know, like we go, you know, we've been over this, I don't even know how many.
A million.
You know, how many times, but it's always humorous to me, you know, because one of, like, their voting rules always seems to be that you have to be on a winning team.
Unless.
Well, obviously, the Mariners aren't a winning team. So it's very interesting that, you know, they're pushing Kyle Lewis so hard for this award. You know, and the other thing, of course, you know, that doesn't apply when you're Mike Trout.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm willing to bet if he doesn't win the MVP award this year, he's in the top three.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think, you know, that's gonna be an issue, and it's just kind of, it's kind of odd that, you know, it works for what, you know, how kind of whenever they need it, I guess, is the way to look at it. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, we need this now, so let's put this in now. But yeah, otherwise,
yeah,
it's just kind of, oh no, it's no big deal.
It's always very contradictory.
Yeah.
Playoffs don't matter unless it's Mike Trout.
You know, because otherwise, I mean, if a guy's having a great year and his team's not going to be in the playoffs, they say, well, you know, yeah, he's doing this, but he couldn't get his team in the playoffs. And then here comes Mike Trout. Oh, well, God, look at these numbers and look at his WAR and look at his, you know, look at all these sabermetric stats that say he's the greatest ever. And yet he's been to the playoffs one time. So. So yeah, I don't, you know, I just, it just kind of baffles me. I don't get what they're, you know, what they think. And again, I mean, it's not difficult to say, well, you know, he's the front runner right now. That doesn't mean he's going to win it. That just means he's going to, you know, he's going to be a contender for the award. So I don't know. It just kind of makes me nuts, and that's why I chuckle when, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, here you go. They, Luis Robert got hot, and you know, he won a game over the weekend, and you know, I was like, oh, okay. And then I believe he homered. I think he homered twice last night, or maybe it was just once. Maybe he homered and doubled. So yeah, it was just kind of like, yeah, okay, you guys are paying fantastic attention to what's going on. So there you go. But yeah, it's just, you know, again, it just makes me kind of goofy when, you know, these guys get up there and it's like, oh yeah, you know, this guy's the MVP or this guy's the Rookie of the Year or this guy won the Cy Young. You know, and like, you know, like I was, you know, like I was okay today. I caught one of the morning shows, and the way they worded it, you know, was they were talking about Max Fried of the Braves, and they mentioned that they were going to explain how he was a contender for MVP. Now, you know, they didn't come out and say that he was the MVP, but they were going to give you the example of what, you know, what they think he's done to win it. Now that makes perfect sense to me. You know, you can do that all day with every player and I'll watch you. But, you know, to just go, oh yeah, well, this is Max Fried and he's the MVP. But they didn't do that. So I appreciate them, you know, kind of not making me feel, you know, stupid or like I didn't know what was going on in the game. So, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just me who feels that way, and I, you know, I don't know. So, but I mean, you know what I mean with the whole, you know, the whole damn, you know, at least playing to me where I was, you know, where I was being talked to, and they were gonna make a case for me instead of just telling me this guy was the winner.
Well, you know, and they still have this ancient, you know, 1900s type coverage where they for, you know, you and I aren't the only ones who have access to every Major League Baseball, or that they are the only ones that can see footage from every game. You know, we, you and I, regular guys, have that compatibility also via MLB.TV. But then, you know, even if you don't subscribe to it, you know, you can go on YouTube, you could search for a lot of things and find a lot of coverage on your favorite team. You know, you, so it's not, it's all readily there. It's not like, you know, for me when I was growing up, I had to read the newspaper, you know, to see what happened last night. For my dad's home run pool that we were in, or, you know, the 13 run week, whatever thing. I didn't really understand that one totally, but, you know, I just played. You know, that, and, you know, I had to watch This Week in Baseball to get all the information to see what happened, who did what, you know, the cool Bo Jackson plays, things like that, where nowadays I don't have to wait for that one Saturday show. You know, I don't have to wait for my dad to get home from work with the newspaper. As soon as the game's over, it's there. And I think that's the one thing that bothers you the most is that we're still being treated like we're idiots. You know, if you study the history of journalism, the way they talked and the way they presented themselves in newspapers, the style was essentially that everyone was dumb. And it's not like a negative thing, but when newspapers were started in the 30s, not everybody could read, so it all had to be simple. And that's where you had your difference in your two different types of newspapers, i.e. here in Chicago, you know, you had your Tribune, which was more for the business of the educated person because it flipped up and was actually quite more of a pain in the ass. I didn't understand how you'd want to read that while you're commuting. Or, you know, the lower-tiered people, which would be us working-class people, would get the Sun-Times, where it opened up like a book. You know, those were all marketing and trying to go after their demographics, but in the end, it was still treating people like basically they couldn't read. You know, and that's where that all started, and it kind of kept rolling on. And I think that's one of the things they forget is that everyone can read now pretty much, but that we have readily so much accessibility to everything that we're not idiots. You know, I don't know if I rambled on too much about that, but it just irritates me that we can't find the common ground to move forward and still using old archaic ways, you know.
Yeah, oddly, I have I guess technically we're really not friends anymore, but we used to be. You know, a guy I knew for years growing up got his journalism degree from Northwestern. You know, and he's a big shot somewhere. I forget who he's working for or what he's doing. We haven't really kept up since then. But, you know, we were talking about the two different Chicago papers. And he actually told me that people who read the Sun-Times are stupid. And I tried to explain to him. I'm like, dude, you know, when you're sitting on a train, what do you want to do? Do you want to fumble through sections of the paper? Or do you just want to be able to hold it like a book and flip it over or fold it in half, whatever you got to do? But it didn't matter to him. He was just kind of, no, it's, you know, if you read that paper, you're stupid. I was like, okay, well, I guess hopefully you don't see it under my arm then, and we won't have to talk about it. Apparently I was stupid.
Yeah, and that was the attitude. That was the difference. You know, where I grew up and lived, the people who would be taking the train into the city, you know, the downtown area to go to work, those would be the people reading the Sun-Times. And the people coming, you know, going south into the loop, quote unquote educated rich people that were reading the Tribune. So I mean that's the way it was treated.
Yeah, you know, and then kinda going back to the trade deadline, you know, when we're, you know, you're looking at it, Dan, and you know, and obviously, you know, the Padres were the clear winner. There were some other teams who made the good choices. You know, and then you start talking about the teams that are the losers, but I'm realizing now, and this goes back to Mike Trout, that in reality, all of us as fans are losers because, again, for the umpteenth year in a row, even with expanded playoffs, we're not going to get to see the best player in the game in the playoffs again. You know, I mean, that's just a shame if you're, you know, in the Angels front office, their manager, you know, and I know I rag Joe Maddon a lot, but this team is 12-24. They're 11 games behind the A's and, what, 8.5 behind the Astros. They're in last place in the West. That includes the rebuilding Mariners. So, you know, you can't, you know, I mean, it's, you know, and I don't even know how to put words to it except for the fact that it's sad that we never get to see this guy in the playoffs.
And you've got to wonder, will we ever, you know, are they ever going to be good enough to get there? You know, but yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, when they say, oh yeah, this team's the winner and this team's the loser, I think in reality, all the fans are losers because I mean, if you think about it, you know, there's a lot of people being the fact that he plays on the West Coast that, you know, if they don't, you know, have, you know, the MLB TV or the MLB app or they don't stay up late or whatever, they don't get to see Mike Trout play, you know, except for maybe once or twice a year. So, you know, to get him out on a big showcase and really give him the opportunity to show what he could do could be really huge for fans. You know, and even to attract more fans to the game. But unfortunately, this team is just, you know, and I don't even know how to describe it because, you know, it's not really chaos. They're not really in flux. They're not rebuilding. The bottom line is really they're just poorly ran and managed that for whatever reason they can't put it together. And, you know, I believe when we were in actual spring training, I mentioned to you that I thought they were in trouble because they were coming into the season with Cancel Robles as their closer.
Yeah.
You know, and that, you know, and what happened was their bullpen blew up in their face. And, you know, they've been scrambling ever since. And, I mean, the worst part is, like, they seem to have resurrected your guy Dylan Bundy. You know, remember when he was in Baltimore, they were looking at him as a first-round bust. And he just, well, for whatever reason, just struggled with Baltimore and, you know, couldn't do anything. And, you know, he got to the Angels, and he's pitched very well. I mean, I don't know, you know, and who knows, maybe he'll develop into that number one they thought he would be. But, yeah, I mean, the bullpen is just a, you know, just a colossal mess when it comes down to it. And I don't understand what they saw or what they didn't see that made them think this was the way to go. You know, like I'm looking at Robles' stats. He started out as a closer. He only managed to get one save. He's appeared in 12 games, and his ERA is 10.64. So, you know, there's something wrong there from the get-go. You know, they have Ty Buttrey, who's taken over as a closer now. You know, who knows if it'll stay that way. You know, with Joe Maddon, you never know. I mean, Dan could be closing games tomorrow, and we wouldn't know. But, you know, I would, you know, and this is one of those things that I kind of wonder, Dan. I would love to know front office-wise or personnel-wise who looked at that bullpen and said, yeah, this is going to be good. This is exactly what we need. Instead of, you know, maybe adding a veteran guy or trading for a veteran guy that, you know, they could have got earlier. And I, you know, instead of being buried in last place and now being a seller.
Yeah. And you know, that's one of the things. So I wanted to ask you before I get in a little bit is, have the Angels won a World Series and what year? But, you know, kind of backtracking to Baltimore, you got to wonder what is wrong with the way they work with their pitching. You know, Arrieta, Bundy now. I know Gausman kind of hung around with them for a while and fizzled out down in Atlanta. But, I mean, it seems like guys who have the potential, once they leave Baltimore, definitely get better. So you got to wonder what's going on there. But when it comes to the Angels and their pitching, like you said, who looked at it and said, oh, we're okay with this? You know, one of the things I think we talked about and pointed out early on in the season or prior to the season starting was the fact that they had a pretty young pitching staff to begin with. And if you know anything about Joe Maddon, he doesn't trust young players. He's kind of like a Tom Thibodeau for Major League Baseball. You know, Tibbs never really played the rookies, you're SOL if you are a rookie on his team. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing where, you know, you brought it up a million times, you know, John Lester could be in the seventh inning, give up a grand slam, and, you know, they're still up by two, so we'll leave them in. But Kyle Hendricks gives up a one-out double in the bottom of the fourth, and we've made the call to the bullpen. You know, so he doesn't trust young pitching. Yeah, prove me wrong, but so you kind of wonder with their whole situation, what they were thinking, and did their ideals really match up to what their managerial signing? You know, and the reason I asked you if the Angels won the World Series or not, and if when, because I just don't remember off the top of my head the teams that haven't won. I know the Rangers are one of them. But when you think about the history of the California the Anaheim Angels, I mean, obviously Mike Trout is their guy. I think it's pretty cool with his extension, and hopefully he finishes his career in Anaheim. But other than that, who can you really say was an Angel? You know, and I know it's different because you always joke with me, like, oh, former Cub, which, you know, half the time everyone's a former Cub nowadays with Theo. But, you know, when you think about the great names that have played for the Angels, you also have to think about the fact that this was towards the end of their career. You know, a guy like Ricky Henderson, I believe he played there. But your guy, Reggie. Reggie played there.
Reggie, yeah.
So that was towards the end. I mean, there's a lot of great players that played there, but that was towards the end. And granted, the same ownership hasn't been there since the 60s. You know, I just believe that Disney was just trying to take over part of California to generate some revenue. And then, you know, the biggest thing they got out of it was Angels in the Outfield with Danny Glover. You know, if you're a kid, it's an awesome movie. So, you know, other than that, though, yeah, well, you know what I mean. So when you look at kind of the legacy, I mean, Nolan Ryan even pitched in California. But
yes.
Yeah, whether he was at the end of his career or not, that man could still – he could probably go out there today and throw 9 innings and beat the crap out of you when he charged them out. But, you know, and that's kind of what I was wondering. You know, with the legacy that this team has, they don't really have a track record between, you know, ownerships of really making sense and putting together a quality championship team. Even when they surround get the right guys.
I can help you out a little bit here. They have won a World Series. They won the 2002 World Series where they beat the San Francisco Giants in 7 games. That's when they were still called the Anaheim Angels. The last time they made it to the playoffs was 2014. They lost in the ALDS where they were swept. Yes, you heard me, swept by the Kansas City Royals. Other than that, they have not had a winning record in the past 4 years. When you add this one in, because they're probably not going to be over 500 again, it'll be 5 years that they have not been over 500. Now, if you go back a ways from 2004 to 2009, they made the playoffs every year but once. So, you know, they used to be, competitive, you know, always kind of be hanging around there, you know, in the AL West. And, you know, that's, you know, the 1 year Vlad won an MVP for him and Bartolo won a Cy Young for him. But, you know, they just never got back to the World Series. But at least they were contenders then. You know, now you look at them and it's like, yeah, okay, great. What? Who are they? What are they? Yeah, do we care? So that's where that's what you got there. I don't know if that helps you out at all, but
So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, would you consider guys like Vlad Guerrero and Bartolo Colon angels, or do you think of them as, you know, other guys from other teams, I guess you could say, you know, that's, you know, how it goes. So, you know, you just kind of wonder, and I'm going to see here if I can find any, you know, any actual big time names that played for the Angels. Here we had Burt Blyleven played there. He's a Hall of Famer. Rod Carew played for the Angels for a long time. He may, in all reality, be the best player in Angel history. But yeah, there's not a ton of guys you kind of associate with being an Angel. Dan was right. Ricky Henderson did play here. I think Ricky played for everybody. Reggie Jackson, Bo Jackson actually had a stop with the Angels. So, but yeah, kind of looking at the list, are these guys, again, do you think of them as Angels? You know, Eddie Murray was an Angel, but I'm willing to bet most people think of him as an Oriole or an Indian first. So, Frank Robinson had a stop. I could see people may consider Nolan Ryan as an Angel. I'm trying to think if he spent the majority of his career there. Let me see if I can figure that out, because I know he came in, as an Astro. Or no, he came in as a Met. He spent some time with, the Astros and the Rangers, but I think he may have played the bulk of his career for the Angels. Let me see if I can get some yearly totals on Nolan here. Well, no, actually not. He spent 9 years as an Astro and 8 years as an Angel. Five with the Mets and five with the Rangers. So, yeah, even Nolan didn't spend the majority of his career with the, with the Angels. So, Hall of Famer Lee Smith was an Angel for a little while, but I'm willing to bet nobody ever thinks of that. And a couple other Hall of Famers, Hoyt Wilhelm, Dave Winfield. I don't think anybody's thinking of them as Angels. So, yeah, it's tough when you think of an Angel, a Los Angeles Angel, Anaheim Angel, California Angel. So I don't know, who it might be. You gotta kind of start thinking about it, and you start, looking at it and adding it up, and let me see if I can find it. Yeah, well, here you go. I guess we would. Is Dan back? Or I know Dan had to wander off there. Now, this guy we would think of as an Angel, and that's Garrett Anderson. He's actually the all-time leader in games played as an Angel. Obviously Mike Trout would, be considered an Angel. But Garrett Anderson, Tim Salmon, he's currently the career leader, the team leader in home runs for a career until Trout gets there and passes him, of course. There's not a ton of guys, maybe Darren Erstad. He played for quite a while as the Angels, but let's see, pitching wise, let's see what we had. Well, here you go, Troy Percival. He would fit in there. He's the all time leader in appearances. Nolan Ryan is their strikeout leader. That's no surprise there at all. There is Chuck Finley. Possibly Frank Tanana. So there are some guys, but, we're not throwing out all-time great names, maybe with the exception of Nolan Ryan. I like Garrett Anderson as a player, but he's not a Hall of Famer. So, you know, it's a kind of an odd look when you go through the franchise and you look at some of these guys. So it's, yeah, there just aren't a lot of all-time greats. They're, you know, guys who went through the Angel system and stayed with them. They're, you know, for their careers or for a long length of their career. You know, it just didn't go that way for him for whatever reason.
Yeah, and you're right. When you said Eddie Murray, I immediately thought Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, that's the, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. So, I know Brian Downing is on their all-time pitch. Yeah, you know, I guess he could fit in. I think the problem is he won a World Series with the Giants. You know, and you know, and again, like that's, you know, that's the weird, you know, kind of the weird thing when you look at it is it's just like, oh yeah, you know, this guy pitched there. You know, like I'm assuming you would consider Jared Weaver, a all-time Angel. Even though I think he did finish his career with the Dodgers or the Padres or something, but you know he was an Angel. But again, I mean, we're not throwing out Hall of Fame names, so that's the tough thing where you know a lot of the other teams you can go, oh yeah, this guy played there for the majority of his career and he's a Hall of Famer, so.
Well, you did touch on a name, though. Vlad Guerrero, I think. Did he spend his whole career there or close to it? Or was he a transplant who came there?
He may be one of the guys who was there, because I know, I'm trying to remember, I know he spent some time in, you know, obviously Montreal and, you know, some other places. He actually played 8 years in Montreal and 6 with the Angels.
Oh, yeah.
And then a year in Texas and a year in Baltimore before he hung it up.
Yeah, I still kind of was leaning towards the Montreal, but in my mind I was thinking, oh, am I just thinking that because of Vlad, who's not a junior, because even though he's not even an Expo, he's a damn Blue Jay.
Yeah, well, you know, oddly, looking at Vlad's stats, you know, I get that his power decreased when he got to 36. He only hit 13 homers, but he still hit .290 as a 36-year-old. I'm really surprised somebody didn't bring him back the next year and take a look at him, especially in the American League where he could have been a DH. You know, he was a career .318 hitter, so he could really hit, but yeah, you know, the power kind of subsided there as he got older. But, I would still take a guy who's hitting .290 and double-digit home runs for me.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, apparently, you know, they just – nobody ended up taking a look. So, but,
well, compare
yeah,
that
you know, so,
to
yeah,
a 36-year-old A-Rod.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Vlad was gassed up on anything, though. So, you know.
No, well, I mean, think about
it.
Yeah, but I mean, just think about the numbers that A-Rod wasn't producing towards the end of his two years or so. That's where I meant with the comparison.
Yeah, well, you know, once he got off the stuff, he couldn't, you know, he couldn't do it anymore. So, yeah, you know, so yeah, I mean, like, you know, even Vlad, you know, spent more time with the Expos than he did the Angels.
How long was Nolan Ryan there? I didn't think he was there that long, or is that a testament to the fact that they haven't locked down enough pitching to get somebody who can touch that record?
He was there 8 years. So he played in Houston for 9 and with the Angels for 8. So he's another guy who was, you know, close, but, you know, not
did
quite.
He play
then,
with
you know, of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, he was a Astro Ranger, Met, and Angel. So. But, yeah, he was actually drafted by the Mets. He was part of that rotation with Tom Seaver and Jerry Kuzman, which, you know, kind of goes back in Met history where they put together the fantastic rotations, but, you know, back then Ryan's problem was control. He had a tendency to walk a lot of guys. So he, it just didn't work out for him in New York, and it took him, took him a little while to kind of figure things out. And, I think he had control problems till he was in his 30s. But, you know, the obviously the other end of that was the fact that he struck everybody out as well.
Yeah. You know, speaking of striking everybody out, and this is not off topic too bad, I don't know if you caught any highlights from last night's Rays game, but, you know, Tyler Glasnow, I think, is finally showing who he is. It's unfortunate it didn't work out with Pittsburgh, him staying there and whatnot. But, I mean, did you happen to catch some of the highlights from his performance last night? You know, I mean, this kid is in great shape. You know, he's got that domineering presence on the mound, being so tall. And then, you know, you add the extra 30 inches or whatever exaggerated number I was using for the mound. He was just lighting them up last night. Did you happen to catch any of that? And I wish I would have drafted him again.
Yeah, you know, I saw what minimal highlights they showed on Quick Pitch when I got home, but it's never more than, you know, especially when it comes to pitching, they don't show a lot of strikeouts unless you really rack them. So, you know, it was just a highlight or a highlight there. There wasn't too much. But, yeah, I saw a little of it.
So are you surprised, though, that he's still kind of tearing it up? Or do you think that's just the makeup of this team and part of the reason they're in first place right now?
No, well, you know, this was what he was supposed to be. You know, I mean, the problem with him was, you know, these last couple of years, he hasn't been able to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you remember, last year he was rolling. You know, he made 12 starts. He had a 1.78 ERA and was 6-1 and got hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to kind of wonder what would have that year turned into if he could have made 30 starts. You know, could he have kept it rolling, you know, throughout that and just, you know, had a monster lockdown season? So, I know the ERA is a little up this year, but he had a bad outing early in the season, and it takes a little while to kind of work these things down. But,
currently, this season.
Yeah, he's the leader in strikeout per 9 innings for starting pitchers at 15.1. Now, obviously, he doesn't pitch 9 innings all the time. He actually rarely pitches more than 5 or 6, but that's kind of due to the injury concern. So, yeah, you know, there's a lot of talent there. It's just, can they keep him healthy?
Now,
but, yeah, you definitely
can
look at him.
I know. We're going to run out of time on this one. But, you know, I was trying to remember what the hell he was doing down in Tampa. Why haven't we talked at all about Chris Archer this season? Did he opt out or is
he's
injured?
Hurt.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe he's going to – I don't know if it was Tommy Jones or he's going to miss the season. He was going to miss the season. He's going to look at the whole
Or somewhere you're not.